بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 39th session in Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3, المستوى الثالث, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. As you know, today our discussion is supposed to be from the book of Zakat, specifically the zakat of al-dhahab, gold, and al-fidda, silver. In our book, it's on pages 59 and 60. But also, we might read a little bit from some of the secondary references. There's something in al-wajiz and ta'liq of Sheikh Safiur Rahman, Bulugh Maram, ikhtiyarat of Sheikh al-Albani, and others. Actually, there's a reference here for Al-Jami' li Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah by Imam Ibn Uthaymeen. But I sent you a PDF file for another book of Shaykh Uthaymeen, Fiqh al-Ibadat, which actually the presentation in that book is a little bit easier to follow. Because in Al-Jami' li Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, the Shaykh is actually explaining another book, and he's dealing with what's the statements in the other book, yani clarifying, expounding, making differences of opinion, and it's a little bit detailed and complex and lengthy. Whereas in Fiqh al-Ibadat, the Shaykh just explains the topic straight through himself. He's not commenting on somebody else. It's a little bit easier to follow. That's why I sent that reference, the PDF file for Fiqh al-Ibadat. It's a really good book, actually. I bought it some years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I found a lot of benefit in it. Every subject in there he's presenting, easy, clear language, you know, it's a little bit easier to follow. Then Al-Jami, the Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, actually the Shaykh, he didn't write that book, but it was collected from his writings, somebody else collected it from his writings, and some of it is quite detailed, you know. So, it's more of a fiqhi discussion, which, even though this is a fiqh class, right, but sometimes if we just go to the evidences of the hadith and the sunnah, it's easier. It's easier. Allahu musta'an. In any case, you have several references, and I hope that somebody actually took a look at those references. In case I missed something, maybe you'll catch it. Okay, so we're going to read from our text first. And the discussion in the text is not very lengthy. It's only on two pages. Page 59 and 60. No, I'm sorry, 59 and 60. So, and I am going to refer to Fiqh al-Ibadat only because there's a couple of points here in the main book which they didn't give any discussion about. So I'm going to take the discussion from Shaykh al-Taymeen from Fiqh al-Ibadat. Fiqh al-Ibadat, yani it's a few pages, but what did I say, 210? That's where it starts at? Okay, so I might read from some other pages also. Anyway, look, you have the whole book. MashaAllah. Enjoy yourself. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Okay, so we're reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, level 3, page 59, the topic of zakat, al-dhahabi wal-fidda. Yani, the obligatory charity that is required to be taken from the person who has wealth in the form of gold and silver. In the form of gold and silver, and as we will see, also included in that is other forms of currency. Yani, whatever is the common currency in a particular land, because gold and silver was the currency at that time. Okay, so we'll have some discussion about this point, but the point is that there are different types of wealth, right? And previously we discussed the wealth of livestock, people who have camels and cows and sheep and goats and stuff like that, and we discussed people who have farms, who have crops and things like that, and this is another type of wealth, yani. People who have money. At that time it was gold and silver coins, yani, dirham, and what? Dinars. But now there are other currencies, so also those currencies are included, and we'll discuss yani, something about that particular point of the other types of currencies that they also included in this ruling. Zakat al-dhahab wal-fidda. Wahiyya wajibatun bil-kitabi wa-sunnah wal-ijma'i. Yani, this zakat on gold and silver is an obligation based upon evidence from the Qur'an, evidence from the Sunnah, and also based upon the Ijma' of the Muslims. Okay, Here in our book, they didn't mention anything about the ijma. They just mentioned it, that this is also yani a proof of the obligation of the charity on person's money. فَأَمَّا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ فَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th surah of the Quran, 34th ayat. 9th surah, 34th ayat. Allah says in the book, in the Quran, saying of Allah the Most High, as for those who يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةَ. يَكْنِزُونَ means, yani they treat it as a treasure that they hoard up and keep it, yani for themselves. They're just hoarding the money, hoarding the gold and silver. So as for those who hoard up the gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they don't spend it in the way of Allah. Yani they don't spend it to help the poor, the needy, yani for all the causes of Allah. They don't use it for that. Rather, they just keep it all for themselves. فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَظِيمٍ. Bashir is fi'l amr. This is a command. Allah is saying, announce to them a severe punishment, a painful punishment, عَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Yani hellfire, punishment in hell. Because this is a major matter. Yani the obligatory charity is a major matter. It's, yani, it's one of the pillars of Islam. It's a pillar of Islam from the foundations of Islam. The person who refuses, This means obligatory charity. This is the obligatory charity. This is not just general charity. I have a lot of money today. I want to give some charity. I see somebody who might be needy or whatever. I'm just giving. No, that's voluntary. We're talking about obligatory charity. This is not by choice. This is, you have to give this. If you don't give it, it's a sin. And the punishment for it is that a person will be punished in the hellfire. Severe punishment in the hellfire, as we see in the hadith. Severe punishment in the hellfire.
Even in the Quran, the ayah following that.
Even in the ayah following that, And we'll come to that also. But here they just mentioned this part like this. As far as what's in the Quran, those who hoard up gold and silver, hoard up the money, and they don't spend it in the way of Allah, then announce to them a painful punishment. وَأَمَّا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ, as far as the proof that giving this obligatory charity, that it is an obligation, and that it's sinful not to fulfill it, the proof from the sunnah is that which is narrated. فَمَا رَوَاهُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. It should be فَمَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. يعني فَأَمَّا مِنَ السُنَّةِ فَمَا رَوَاهُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. We don't say مَا رَوَاهُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. We say مَا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيَ مُسْلِمَ أَبُو دَاهُدْ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Okay? He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ صَاحِبِ ذَهَبٍ وَلَا فِضَّةٍ لَا يُؤَدِّي مِنْهَا حَقَّهَا إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ صُفِّحَتْ لَهُ صَفَائِحُ مِنْ نَارٍ فَأُحْمِيَ عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَيُقْوَى بِهَا جَنْبُهُ وَجَبِينُهُ وَظَهْرُهُ كُلُّ مَا بَرَدَتْ وَعِيدَتْ لَهُ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 years حَتَّى يُقْضَى بَيْنَ الْإِبَادِ فَيُرَى أَوْ يَرَى. It came both ways in the hadith. فَيُرَى يعني فَيُرَى سَبِيلُهُ وَفَيَرَى with فَتَّى سَبِيلُهُ فَيَرَى سَبِيلَهُ يعني يُرَى سَبِيلُهُ with دَمَّة يرى سبيله وثفته منسوب. يعني يرى is مبني للمجهول, so it's مرفون بالضمة يعني نائب فاعل, and if it's يرى then it's مفعول به منسوب وثفته. Okay, came in the narration of the hadith both ways. فيرى سبيله أو سبيله أو يرى سبيله إما إلى الجنة وإما إلى النار. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith that is reported by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that there is no person who possess gold nor silver. There is no person who possess gold nor silver. And he doesn't fulfill its right. He doesn't yani give the obligatory charity some amount from that gold and silver as is legislated in the Quran and Sunnah. Except that if that happens, that a person has wealth that's يعني that he has to give zakat from and he doesn't do it, كان يوم القيامة. Then that person will be, يعني on يوم القيامة, that person, they will be made for him. صفيهات, يعني plates, يعني or sheets. يعني normally صفيهات له صفاه, يعني means sheets of metal. But here it means what? It's going to be, يعني these sheets are going to be from fire. They're going to be sheets of metal, really made from fire. فَأُحْمِيَ عَلَيْهَا, and they will be heated up. يعني till they are burning heated. يعني to a level of burning, يعني like fire. They are heated up in the hellfire, in نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. فَيُقْوَى بِهَا جَنْبُهُ, and then his side will be branded with it. يعني will be burned and branded with these sheets of fire. وَجَبِينُهُ, and his forehead, meaning his face, will be branded with this fire. وَظَهْرُهُ, and his back will be burned and branded with this fire. And every time it cools down, then it will be returned. يعني it will be heated again, and he will be burned with it. يعني in a day, the length of it is like 50,000 years. This is what he will be burned. He will be punished. يعني in a day, its length will be like 50,000 years in this world. يعني the length of time of 50,000 years of our time right now, it will be a day that will be that long. It will be like the length of 50,000 years in this world, and he will be constantly burned with this fire, يعني due to the gold or the silver that he was supposed to give to the poor and the needy, and he didn't give it. But he kept it, he hoarded it up for himself. حَتَّى يُقْضَى بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ, يعني this will go on for a day whose length is like the length of 50,000 years until, يعني وعليكم السلام, يُقْضَى يعني يُحْكَمْ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ, until Allah finishes judging between the people, until the judgment is finished, until all people have been judged. فَيُرَى سَبِيلُهُ, then his way, يعني his path that he's going to go will be seen. Or yara, he will see sabilahu. He will see the way, imma ila al-jannah, either he will be going to paradise, or wa imma ila al-nar, or he will be going to the hellfire. So that person will be punished, and after this punishment, then he will go to his place, paradise or hellfire. He may go to paradise, but he will get this punishment first. Or he may, after this punishment, then he will go to hellfire and get more punishment in the hellfire. And Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned, I don't know if we'll read today, but he mentioned that this ayat is a proof that the person who doesn't give the zakat is not a kafir. He said this hadith is a proof that the person who doesn't give the obligatory zakat, he's not a kafir. Some people said the person who doesn't give the zakat, like the person who doesn't make salat, is a kafir, kufra, by ijma' al-sahaba. But the person who doesn't give zakat, there's difference of opinion. Some scholars said he's a kafir, some scholars said he's not. Shaykh Uthaymeen said that this hadith is the proof that he's not a kafir. Because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said this person will be punished severely for a day in which its length is like 50,000 years until judgment is completed over all the people, and then people will go forward to the paradise of hellfire, and this person will go either to the paradise or the hellfire. If he's a kafir, he can't go to paradise. If he was a kafir, he can't go to paradise. So this is a proof that this is a severe sin, that a person is going to be punished severely, but it doesn't mean that they're a kafir. And every sin that a person commits, even major sins, doesn't mean that they're a kafir. We don't believe that a person who commits a major sin is a kafir. We don't believe that. We believe that a Muslim who commits a major sin, he is, yani, has iman, according to his iman, and he has fisq, yani, he's a fasiq according to his sins. But we don't say that a major sin takes a person out of Islam. We don't say that. We don't believe that. And this hadith is a proof of that. Okay, now we read in the beginning that the zakat is obligatory according to the kitab and the sunnah and ijma'. So they mention an ayah from the Quran and they mention a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نعم. So What I want to read now, just briefly, I want to read from Fiqh al-Ibadat. Just a brief note related to this particular point, where Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says that the hukm concerning zakat in Islam, they asked him a question, what is the ruling concerning zakat in Islam? Naam. Oh, I thought you were trying to get my attention. Is that zakat in Islam is one of the pillars of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam. That's the first thing he said. And he said that Islam is built upon it. Yani, one of the five pillars that Islam is based upon. And then he said, he mentioned the hadith, Buniya Islam ala khams, Islam is based upon five. The testimony that there's nothing deserved to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, establishing the prayer, giving the zakat, fasting in Ramadan, and pilgrimage to the house, yani to the sacred house in Mecca. Then Shaykh Uthaymeen says, Wahiya fardun, zakat. Wahiya fardun. This is a proof that zakat is a pillar of Islam. And then the Shaykh says, Wahiya fardun bi ijma'al muslimin. And it is obligatory according to the ijma' of the Muslims. Therefore, فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ وُجُوبَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Listen to this point, okay? After what I just said before, listen to what the Shaykh is saying here. فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ وُجُوبَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever rejects, denies that it is obligatory, he has fallen into kufr. What did we say before? One person, who's sure about what I said before. That hadith is a proof of what? That he didn't become a kafir by not giving charity. Here the Shaykh is saying something different. He's saying he did become a kafir. Is it by not giving zakat? It's by denying the obligation of zakat. Okay, this is the point I want to make. This is a very important point. Some people, they heard something and they went for a touchdown. Okay, the Shaykh, he said here that the person who denies that zakat is obligatory, while it's founded in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and they deny it, that means they rejected the Quran. That person is a disbeliever. But in the other place, the Shaykh said, this hadith is a proof that merely not fulfilling the obligation doesn't make you a kafir. Merely not fulfilling the obligation doesn't make you, but denying that it's obligatory makes you a kafir. It's like a person who says, I know it's obligatory to pray. I know it, I believe it. But I'm weak, sometimes I didn't pray. So his not praying didn't make him a kafir. But what made him a kafir for sure is him saying, if he said, I don't have to pray, it's not obligatory to pray. There's a difference between a person who doesn't fulfill the obligation and a person who says, it's not obligatory. Saying it's not obligatory while it's founded in the Quran is disbelieving the Quran. That's kufr. Not doing it is another matter altogether. That's in reference to zakat. As far as salat, it's a different issue. But anyway, we're not going to go into the salat now because that's a long, drawn-out discussion. Okay, but for zakat, we're saying that the person not fulfilling the obligation is not in and of itself kufr, but denying that it's obligatory is kufr. That's what the Shaykh is saying. That's why I wanted to read this just for this point. Distinguish between what he's saying here and what he said there. Okay? These two statements might appear to somebody on the surface to be contradictory, but really he's talking about two different things. And then I'm going to close what he said here. Whoever denies the obligation of zakat has fallen into kufr, unless, this is very important, unless illa an yakuna haditha ahdi bil Islam. Except the person is a new Muslim. They just became a Muslim. They don't know about Islam yet. They don't know about the obligations. They don't know the proofs and evidences. They just got here. That person is exempt from this. Okay? He said, or nashian fi badiyatin, ba'idatin an al-ilm wa ahli. Or a person who was raised in the desert, far distant from knowledge and the people of knowledge. He didn't have any way to learn. There were no scholars in the desert where he's at. He's just out there with the camels and the cows and the goats and the sheep. And he never saw a scholar. He didn't know about Islam. He's a Muslim, but he doesn't have knowledge. He's excused. فَيُعْذَرُ Huh? Look how, this is a scholar speaking here, right? This is Shaykh Uthaymeen. He said, فَيُعْذَرُ He's excused. He has the udhr. وَلَكِنَّهُ يُعَلَّمُ But he must be taught. He's excused because he didn't know. But now that we found he didn't know, he has to be taught. فَيُعَلَّمْ فَإِنْ أَصَرَّ بَعْدَ عِلْمِهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ مُرْتَدًّا Now, He didn't know. He was excused. But now he's taught and he knows. If he continues to deny the obligation of zakat after he was taught, now he fell into kufr and he's a murtad, apostate from Islam. Okay, so this right here, what the Sheikh said here is to me, very tremendous. I'm reading from Fiqh al-Ibadat from page 238 and page 239, Fiqh al-Ibadat. About Salah.
No, the Sahaba.
Uh-huh. About Salah.
Not giving zakat. You just said it. Uh-huh. The general of the Sahaba is that not giving zakat leads to kufr.
No. That's not what I said. If I said that, I apologize. Let me correct what I said. Okay, if I said that, let me clarify. I said, as far as Salat, I said that's another issue. That's a different issue. Salat. We're talking about zakat. As far as Salat, the ijma of Sahaba is the person who abandons Salat. Okay. One prayer, knowingly, consciously, willingly, they've fallen into kufr. Salat. As far as zakat, we said the person who didn't fulfill the obligation, he doesn't become a kafir by just not doing it. But he became a kafir if he denies the fact that the Qur'an declares it to be obligatory. He doesn't accept what Allah said in the Qur'an.
Okay, but the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, combat those who refuse to give.
He said he will fight against anybody who holds back one iqal, yani one rope that they used to tie the camel with, that they used to give to the Messenger of Allah. If they're not giving it now, we'll fight against them. And we will fight them, meaning we will kill them. Yes. But he didn't say they were kafirs. He said we will fight against them to make them fulfill the obligation that's upon them. He didn't say he's fighting against them because they are murtad. He said he's fighting against them because they disobeyed the law of Allah. Okay, so his statement here is not to be interpreted that he's saying they became kafirs. That's not clear in his statement that he's saying they're kafirs. He's saying we will fight against them to force them to uphold the law that Allah has established. And that's the obligation. It goes with it. Allah always mentions zakat with salat. But that, the point here is showing the importance of zakat. It's important like salat, and so is hajj, and so on. But each of them have something specific that may be different from another one. It may be different. I mean, even there's a statement from Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, that the people who were able to make hajj and didn't make it, he said they just as well died as a Christian or a Jew. He said they just as well died as a Christian or a Jew. Person who is able to make pilgrimage, he just elects not to do it. But each one of them are different. Salat, zakat, siyam, hajj, each one is different. Okay, so just for clarification, what I'm saying now, Sheikh Uthaymeen, his view, what I just read, is that a person who fails to fulfill the obligation of zakat, fails to do it, that he doesn't become a kafir from that alone. But the person who denies the obligation, who says, I don't believe it's obligatory, that's kufr. That's what I'm trying to present from the Shaykh. Okay, after this, that's Kitab and Sunnah and Ijma. Now, of course, if a person denies a pillar of Islam, they're denying Islam. Denial and not doing it is two different things, okay? Except that for Salat, it is said that there's Ijma from the Sahaba. They said the person who failed to do it, forget about he didn't agree that it's obligatory. If he didn't do it, knowingly, willingly, consciously. He knows the ruling. He's conscious of what he's doing. He didn't forget. And nobody's compelling him. And voluntarily, he just said, I'm not going to pray. I don't want to pray. I'm not going to pray. That's kufr. And then even that, there's difference of opinion, but this is not the time for salat, right? This is time for zakat. Naam, ya waleed. Naam, ya waleed. How many prayer? One prayer. One prayer, he let it elapse its time willingly, consciously, knowingly. He just said, I don't want to pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have to. Whatever he's saying, he's not going to do it. Now. I understand what you're saying, Waleed. I understand what you're saying. Okay. We can only say in brief, right, that declaring somebody to be a kafir, specifically, that this brother, I don't want to say any name because I don't know if I know everybody's name here. I don't want to say somebody's name. But so-and-so, to say that he is a kafir because he didn't pray, that's not the way of the people of Sunnah. We don't do that. But we say, in general, a person who willingly, knowingly, consciously doesn't pray, that's kufr. But we're not going to say about that person, specific individual. I mean, there's no need for that. We're just saying this is the ruling. As far as a person saying he actually went out of Islam, that is the role and the responsibility and the right of scholars, not for the common people. We don't say that, a person who says, I'm a Muslim, and then we say, no, he's a kafir. We don't do that. We don't do that. That's a ruling for the scholars if it's necessary. Otherwise, Allah knows what's in people's hearts. Okay? As far as the person saying, Allah knows what's in my heart, that's a different matter altogether. We're saying that Allah does know what's in people's hearts. But that doesn't mean that because Allah is the only one who knows what's in their hearts, that nobody can make a ruling. The scholars can make a ruling based on evidence. Yani fulfilling the shurut of takfir and making sure that the mawaniya, the things, the prohibitive factors that prevent you from declaring a person a kafir, making sure that all of those are fulfilled. If they did that, they can do it. Yes, the scholars, they can do that. But as for us, we don't need to do that. We have no need. And it's not our responsibility. Allah didn't place that upon us. Why take it? Why would you want to declare somebody to be a kafir who said that they are Muslim? Why would you want to say that? And it's not our role. Yani, if anybody says that a Muslim is a disbeliever, then the Prophet ﷺ said, then for sure one of them will be. If that person is not, it will come back to the person who declared them to be a kafir, because to do so is kufr. To say that a Muslim is a disbeliever, that's kufr. If that's not true, that's kufr in itself. And how can you say that? In any case, this hadith that we read from the proofs of the obligation of zakat is a hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And after this, they mention the nisab, and they don't mention the amount that's obligatory, but they mention the minimum amount. Yani, if a person doesn't have this minimum amount of wealth, there's no zakat obligatory upon them unless they have a minimum amount. This is what the topic that we're going to look at now. The nisab alladhi tajibu fihi al-zakat ala nahwi al-ati. Yani, the minimum amount that necessitates a person giving the zakat is as follows. And by the way, this topic, the Shaykh goes into some detail concerning this topic in Fiqh al-Ibadat on page... No, I'm reading from the level 3 Fiqh book. I'm just giving you a reference now in Fiqh al-Ibadat for the nisab. In Fiqh al-Ibadat, the Shaykh talks about it on page 238 and 239. Just so you can go back and read it. Maybe we have time to read some of it, maybe we won't. But at least you have a reference for it. The nisab. Okay, what they mention concerning nisab here is as follows. For gold, there's one nisab. And for silver, there's a different nisab.
Check from the book. From the book, yeah. From the book.
Uh-huh. Page 60. I'm reading from page 60, yes. I'm reading from page 60. Yani, after the first paragraph, it said, وَالنِّصَابُ الَّذِي تَجِبُ فِيهِ الزَّكَاةِ عَلَىٰ النَّهْوِ الْآتِ. Okay, so what is the nisab? The nisab is, if a person has $1,000 in their savings, in a box, or in a container, or in a can, or any place in their house, or somewhere else, they're just saving it. They're not paying their rent, buying food, clothing, no expenses, they just have extra money, and they're saving, they have $1,000. Well, the minimum nisab is more than $1,000. So even if they have that $1,000 for 20 years, they do not have to give zakat. $1,000, maybe some people say is a lot of money. To me, if somebody gave me $1,000, I would feel like they gave me a lot of money. I would take it, I would be happy. But guess what? In Islam, if a person has $1,000, it's not considered that you have to give zakat. That's not a lot of money. For to give zakat, you have to at least have the minimum amount, which is maybe around $4,000. Now when you get that much, you have to give a little bit from it. A few dollars from it, right? No, from whatever amount you have. If you have $4,000, or the minimum, whatever the minimum is, if you have that minimum, you have to give zakat. On whatever amount you have, whether it's $4,000 or $4,100 or $4,200, or 10,000 or 20,000. Once you reach that minimum, you have to give zakat on the whole amount. 2.5% of it. 2.5%. Yani, meaning 2.5 pennies on a dollar. On $100, $2.50. If you have $1,000, you have to give what? $25. If you have $1,000, you give $25 in zakat. Huh? That's a small amount. That doesn't mean that if you have $100,000, that you just give the minimum. You have to give at least 2.5%. But if you have a lot, you can give more, right? But the minimum, the amount you have to give is only a small amount, 2.5%. It's only a small amount. So if a person has $4,000, for example, and they reach the minimum, they have to give $100. Out of $4,000, they have to give $100 to people who are poor and needy. If you have that much money in savings that you just keeping there, you're not even using it, you're going to give more than $100. You see poor people, you're going to give more than $100. You're going to give more than that. But at least you have to give, that's the mandatory amount that you have to give. Okay. Okay, that's the, we're going to talk about that right now, the nisab. The nisab on gold is different than the nisab on silver. The nisab on gold, إِذَا بَلَغَ إِشْرِينَ مِثْقَالًا. Yani, if the amount reached the weight of 20 mithqal. Mithqal is a measure of weight. Yani, it's a certain weight, right? If a person, their goal reached that weight, we're going to say how much is that weight today, right? وَحَالَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَالِ. And they kept it for 1 year, complete 1 year. وَجَبَتْ فِيهِ الزَّكَاةِ. In that case, it became obligatory to give zakat. وَالْإِشْرُونَ مِثْقَالًا تُسَاوِي بِالْوَزْنِ الْحَالِي 85 جَرَامًا تَقْرِيبًا. So this 20 mithqal is equal today in the weight and measures that we have today is equal to 85 grams, approximately 85 grams. So if a person has pure gold, whether it's in yani, whatever form, jewelry or other than that, yani gold bars or gold chunks or anything gold, and it weighed 85 grams. If they put it on the scale and it came to 85 grams, then they reached the nisab. They have to give zakat on that. If they have 85 grams of gold. So for example, if your wife has a lot of gold, you need to weigh it. If it came to 85 grams, there's a difference of opinion about jewelry, right? But the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, is that even if it's jewelry that they wear, zakat has to be paid on it. The other opinion is if it's jewelry that they wear, it's not just kept as money, but it's kept, but they have it as just their jewelry that they wear, some scholars say they don't have to pay zakat on it. Anyway, we'll talk about that perhaps, but the most correct opinion, the strongest opinion, is that they have to pay zakat on it. Hopefully I'll read from Fiqh al-Ibadat, Shaykh Uthaymeen, where he talks about it in detail. 85 grams, approximately. The last time I counted a few years ago, the value of gold, you know, is going up and down, right? The value of silver is going up and down. So it may fluctuate. But at that time, it was around $4,000. But maybe today it might be different. I don't watch the gold market. Actually, I don't have any gold, so no need to, right?
So based on that, to calculate for cash money, for somebody to have a bank account, or for how you do for the cash money?
We're going to come to that. We didn't get there yet. Al-Zahab. Okay, so what's the nisab for Zahab? 85 grams of gold. Al-Fidda, إذا بلغت الفضة 200 dirham وحال عليه الحال وجبت فيها الزكاة. So if a person has silver equal to 200 dirhams, 200 gold coins, we're going to see what that weighs also, right? And then they kept it for 1 year, it became obligatory for them to give some portion of that, 2.5% in zakat to the people who are needy. This is based on the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari from Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَيْسَ فِي مَا دُونَ خَمْسِ أَوَاقٍ صَدَقَةٌ. Yani, whoever has less than 5 awaqin, there's no zakat. If they have less than 5. So the nisab for silver is 5 awaqin. This hadith reported by Bukhari, وَخَمْسَ أَوَاقٍ تُسَاوِي مِيَتَي دِرْهَمْ. 5 awaqin is equal to 200 dirham. 200 silver coins, because 1 uqiya is equal to 40 dirhams. So 5 uqiya is 200 dirhams. 200 dirhams. And by the way, just as a note, 200 dirhams today, yani, is equal to about, in weight, in today's weight, of silver, is equal to about 595 grams of silver. Approximately 500. Yani, there's difference of opinion about the weights like this, but that's the most common number that I have seen in the books of fiqh that yani the 200 dirhams of silver is equal in weight to about 595 grams of silver. Naam. I'm trying to look for the page in Fiqh al-Ibadat where you could see this at. Naam, it's on page, in case we don't get to, on page 212 of Fiqh al-Ibadat. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, the nisab of dhahab is 85 grams and the nisab of fidda is 595 grams of silver. In case we don't get to it. Okay, so fidda, he said, and he mentioned this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whatever is less than 5 awaqin, yani one uqiyah is 40 dirhams, 5 of them is 200 dirhams, and 200 dirhams, Shaykh Uthaymeen says in another place, is equivalent to about 595 grams of silver. He also mentioned a second hadith, the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, إذا كانت لك 100 dirham وحال عليها الحال ففيها خمسة دراهم. فيها خمسة دراهم. In this hadith, it's mentioning the nisab as 200 dirhams, and it's also mentioning the amount you have to pay on that you have to give 5 dirhams. So 5 dirhams from 200 is in fractions 1/40. In percentages, it's 2.5%. Whoever is the mathematician here, you figure it out. I just wrote it down on paper, you know. So, I mean, maybe you guys can figure it out in your head. Yeah, muhandisin. Okay? 200 dirhams of silver. Yeah, and you have to pay 5 dirhams in zakat on that. 5 from 200, yani is 1/40. In percentage, it's yani 2.5%. Naam. So, in the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if a person has 200 dirhams and he kept it for 1 year, he has to give 5 dirhams in zakat. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٌ يَعْنِي فِي الذَّهَبِ حَتَّى يَكُونُ لَكَ 20 دِينَارًا. And nobody has to give any zakat in reference to gold unless they have at least 20 dinars, yani 20 gold coins. And those 20 dinars in gold coins is equal to, today in today's weights, to 85 grams of gold. So if a person has 20 dinaran and he kept it for 1 year, fafiha nisfu dinar. Nisfu dinarin. Yani if a person has 20 gold coins, yani equal to 85 grams of gold, he has to give a nisf, yani a half of a dinar. Okay, so let's figure it out. He has 20, that's the minimum nisab. He has to give how much zakat? A half of 1 dinar. So what is that equal to in fractions or percentages? 1/40. Again, a half of, yani he has 20 coins, he has to give a half of one of them, that's 1/40, also equal to 2.5%. So from this we know, from this hadith of Ali, we know that the amount of zakat on the minimum amount of gold or silver, the amount you have to give is at the rate of 2.5%. Yani you have to give a half of a dinar if you have 20, and you have to give 5, yani dirhams if you have 200. Both of them is 1/40 of that amount, of the minimum, if you have that minimum. Now, if it goes over the minimum, you still have to give 2.5% of whatever you have. Okay, unlike cattle and sheep and goats, there's an amount in between where you don't have to give anything extra. Rather, in money and gold and silver, once you reach the minimum nisab, whatever goes over that, you calculate the whole thing at one time, 2.5%. There's no in-between number where you don't have to give anything extra. Khalas, everything that you have of money that's extra above and beyond your needs is just being kept on the side. You don't need it. You're just saving it. You have to give 2.5% from the whole of that amount of what is extra. Naam. No, 2.5% of... Yani, you have to give 2.5% of that. Yes, if you have... Of the weight, but of course, either you're going to give gold, or you're going to give silver, or you're going to give its value. 2.5% of its value. If you don't have money, you just have a lot of gold. I don't know how you're living, because you can't buy anything with gold here, right? If you just have gold, then you have to give the zakat in gold. If you just have silver, you have to give the zakat in silver. Okay, so if you have 200 silver coins, you have to give 5 of those coins. Now you only have 195. Now you don't have the nisab anymore. So now, if you don't get any extra money, you don't have to give zakat anymore. Khalas. You give those 5, you're done. You don't have to give any more. But if after 1 week or 1 month, you get a new supply of money, and now you went over the nisab again, and you kept it for a whole year without it going under, then you have to give 5 more, again, according to whatever amount you have, or 2.5%. Now. Pure gold. Yeah, I need pure gold. I mean, of course, the carats is different. Allahu alam. I don't know anything about carats. I don't know, really. What's the difference between 18 carat and 14 carat and 16 carat? But in any case, in general, the meaning, yani, is the pure gold or pure silver. That's the general meaning. Okay, he said this hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu gives us, yani, the stipulations both for gold and for silver. Yani, for gold you have to give, I mean, for silver you have to give 5 dirhams from if you have at least 200, and for gold you have to give a half of a dinar if you have 20. This narration came from Abu Dawood, reported by Abu Dawood. The end of what they said here is وَيُلْحَقُ بِالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ عُمْلَاتْ وَرَقِيَّةِ. Yani, the paper currencies that people are using today, dollars and pounds and whatever, reals, the paper currencies are following the same rule as gold and silver. يُلْحَقُ بِالذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Yani, following the same rule is العملات الورقية, paper currencies. Sheikh Al-Thaymeen talks about this on page 213 in Fiqh Al-Ibadat, page 213. And then they said, and we're going to look at that a little bit at least, وَالْمِقْدَارُ الْوَاجِبُ إِخْرَاجُهُ هُوَ رُبْعُ الْأُشْرِي. Yani, the miqdar, the amount that is obligatory to be given once you reach the nisab, the amount that's obligatory to be given is a rubu ushr, yani a quarter of a tenth. What's a quarter of a tenth? 2.5, 1/40. Yani a quarter of a tenth, yani 1/40. Quarter of a tenth is 1/40 or 2.5%. That's the end of what they said here. Let's look at what Sheikh Uthaymeen said about the paper money, and even maybe about the miqdar. What time is it? Tayyib. Yeah, I just want to mention from Al-Wajiz, fi fiqh al-sunnah wal-kitab al-aziz, I just want to mention a reference to the hadith of Ali. They said in that book, on page 218, zakat al-naqdain, dhahab wal-fidda, yani the zakat related to the currencies of gold and silver, and whatever follows them, as they just mentioned here, the nisab and the miqdar. They mention the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, and at the end of it, it says that this hadith is reported in Abu Dawood, but they gave a reference to the Sahih Sunan Abi Dawood, where Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said the hadith is Sahih. I just wanted to make that reference, that hadith in Abu Dawood, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned it in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawood. He said, yani hadith number 1391, he said that it's Sahih. Okay, just for that record, I mean, for that point, I wanted to read this. And there's one other point I want to read also. Yani, the same hadith of Ali in Bulugh Maram. Yani, in the commentary of Safir Rahman, the Mubarak 40. Naam, Musa? Naam. No. This hadith, the hadith that we mentioned from Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Let me read it just briefly to you. Yani, they said the hadith that the ruling concerning fidda is based on the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. That hadith is in Bukhari. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no zakat, there's no sadaqah. That's the word he used. He means obligatory zakat here. There's no zakat on the person who has less than 5 awaqin. That's the hadith that came in Bukhari. Now they are explaining the khamsa awaqin. What is khamsa awaqin? They said that the khamsa awaqin is equal to 200 dirhams, yani silver coins, because one uqiya is 40 dirhams. That's an explanation of the hadith in Bukhari. Where that explanation came from? The hadith of Ali, that's in Abu Dawud. It's clear? That explanation came after the hadith of Bukhari. But the explanation came from the hadith of Ali, that's narrated by Abu Dawud. Shaykh al-Bani said that it's sahih. The hadith of Bukhari or the hadith of Abu Dawud? Okay. Is al-uqiyatu arba'una dirhaman. This is the singular of awaqin. Okay, because the hadith mentioned khamsa awaqin. So now they're telling us the singular of awaqin is uqiya, and one uqiya is equivalent to 40 dirhams. So five of them would be 200 dirhams. That's how they came up with that number. That's the explanation. That's not in Bukhari. That's the explanation of the hadith, and it's based upon the hadith of Ali, reported by Abu Dawud. Naam. Okay. I just want to read briefly a comment from the explanation of Bulugh Muram, the same hadith of Ali, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani mentions the hadith in Bulugh Muram. He says that the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person has 200 dirhams and they had it for 1 year, they have to give 5 dirhams as zakat. And there's nothing obligatory upon you if you have gold unless you have 20 dinars, gold coins, and if you had it for 1 year. Then in that case you have to give a half of that gold coin. In Bulugh Muram it says, فَمَا زَادَ فَحِسَابُ ذَلِكَ فَمَا زَادَ يعني whoever has more than that minimum hasab, فَبِي حِسَابِ ذَلِكَ then it will be accordingly, يعني in the same way, يعني whoever has more than the minimum hasab, then the amount that they have to give, the rate is the same. Once they reach the minimum nisab, then they have to give zakat at the rate of 2.5%. 2.5%. That rate is applicable ongoing for anything over than that. The same rate. It's one rate once you reach the nisab. This came in Bulugh Muram. He mentioned this statement that I thought was important. And then he said, وَلَيْسَ فِي مَالٍ زَكَاتٍ حَتَّى يَحُولَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَالِ And nobody has to give zakat unless they had the minimum amount and they had it for 1 year. This hadith reported by Abu Dawud in Bulugh Muram. Al-Hafidh said the hadith is Hasan. And then he said, وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي رَفْعِهِ This is an important statement here. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said, وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي رَفْعِهِ And the scholars differed concerning this hadith. Is it marfu'un? Or is it mawqufun? Shaykh al-Bani said that it's sahih. Al-Hafidh said that it's Hasan himself, but he said there is difference of opinion about it being marfu'un. The commentary here that I wanted to read, he said, that it's different about it being marfu'un in the commentary. Well, na'am. In the commentary, he said that فَمَا زَادَ فَبِهِ سَابِ ذَلِكَ Whatever is over the minimum, he said then it's all according to the same rate. And this indicates that anybody who has more than the minimum nisab, all of it is obligatory to give zakat upon it, whether it's a little more or a lot more. Whether it's a little more or a lot more, and that there's no in-between amounts upon which you don't have to give zakat. Rather, you have to give the zakat on everything that you have once you reach the minimum amount. Once you reach the minimum amount. If a person has what? That's the minimum amount. Then they have to give a half of one gold coin. A half of one gold coin. If they have 20, they have to give a half of one of them. They don't have to give the whole, they have to give a half of one of them or the equivalent of it, its amount, its value. Now, we didn't mention it. Well, we didn't. Nobody mentioned it in what we read so far. But we're going to read something that is yani addressing that issue to some extent, not directly but indirectly. Okay, so that's why I said I want to go back to Sheikh Uthaymeen's comments in Fiqh al-Ibadat, and he said, yani in this discussion, after he mentioned a number of things, from amongst the things that he mentioned, yani was the ayah that I think Abdul Haq said, and the ayah after that, yani talks about further about the punishment for the person who doesn't give zakat. And so the Sheikh, he mentions that, and then he mentions فيها خلاف بين العلماء. You know, that's in reference to jewelry. Okay, he mentions the amount that has to be given, yani on gold and on silver, which we already said that they have to give yani 1/40 or 2.5%. And here, and on page 212, Sheikh Uthaymeen mentions that the nisab of gold is that which is equivalent to 85 grams of gold. And then in reference to silver, he said that which is the nisab for silver is that which is equivalent to 595 grams of silver. Okay, he mentions that on page 212. And there's some difference of opinion about this weight in the modern measures, 85 grams and 595. There's some difference of opinion. This is the more common yani opinion of the scholars, what Sheikh Uthaymeen mentions here. But you know, note that yes, there may be some difference of opinion. Then the Sheikh mentions the issue of combining gold and silver to reach the minimum nisab. I'm going to skip that because I want to go to the issue of the currency. Yes. The Sheikh, he says on page 213, وَيُلْحَقُ بِالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Now we're talking about the value of gold and silver, yeah, Ibrahim. We're talking about the value of gold and silver. Okay, you're saying, if a person has gold or silver, can they give the amount in its value? Rather, what the opinion of many of the scholars, which is the opinion of Sheikh Uthaymeen, is that even if they don't have gold and silver, if they have the value of gold and silver, that the amount of money in paper currency that equals the value of the minimum they solve in gold and silver, they have to give zakat on it. Even if they have no... I understand what you're saying. But I'm saying, yani, if a person doesn't have any gold and silver, do they have to give zakat? They do have to give zakat if they have money. If they have gold and silver, do they have a choice to give it in money or to give it in gold? It appears as though they have a choice to give it in any way they want to give it, as long as they give its value. Because what is considered here, according to the Sheikh's statement that I'm going to read now, what is considered here is that the currency in that time was gold and silver. That's what the people had. That's why they gave gold and silver. But if the people have some other kind of currency, what is important is that they give the people the value in the currency that the people are using at that time.
So the person has the choice to use.
That's what appears to be the meaning of what he's saying here about the obligation of giving, even if you don't have gold or silver. Yani, the point that... Let me read what he says here, and then we'll come back to the point of what. Yani, what is obligatory is to give to the people who are needy, whoever has more than what they need, to share it with the people who are needy in the currency that the people are using. Even if a person doesn't have gold or silver. If the currency is paper money, you still have to give zakat in paper money. Well, what if you give it in gold, and the people can't spend gold? Because that's not the currency. You get the point that I'm coming to? I'm coming to the point that what is necessary is that you have more than you need, and you have to share with the people who don't need in the currency that they can spend to take care of their needs. In the currency that they can spend to take care of their needs. Okay, this is what Sheikh Uthaymeen said to the issue of paper currency. Not to your question, but indirectly, yani, there's a point here that we can benefit from. He says that gold and silver, along with it, under the same ruling, is ma ju'ila badalan anhuma. Listen to the language. Ma ju'ila badalan anhuma fi kawnihi naqdan yu'amilahu bihi. Yani, the Shaykh is saying that there is some kind of currency that has been made as a substitute for gold and silver. And this is the reason why they come under the same ruling, is because they became li fi qawnihi naqdan يُتَعَامَلُ بِهِ, that this is the currency that people are trading with, exchanging with now. So if somebody has money that has become the form of currency that people exchange with, buy and sell with today, it comes under the same ruling as gold and silver, then can a person pay their zakat in that currency that people are using today? It seems as though they can. It seems as though they can. He said, for example, al-awraq al-naqdiyya al-ma'arufa bayn al-nas al-yawm. Yani the paper currency that's well known amongst the people today. But he's saying that for anything that has been made the means of currency or exchange for the people in that particular time, in that particular society, whatever it is that has been made the currency, the means of exchange that people barter and buy and sell with, then that takes on the same ruling as gold and silver. For example, the paper currency that's well known amongst the people today. فَإِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَوْرَاقِ مَا تُسَاوِي قِيمَتُهُ نِسَابًا مِنْ ذَهَبَ الْفِضَّةِ فَإِنَّ الزَّكَاةَ تَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا. So whoever, if any person has paper money, its value is equal to the minimum nisab of gold and silver, then zakat is obligatory upon that person concerning that paper money. He has to give zakat in the same way like gold and silver. What is the reasoning behind that? لِأَنَّهَا نُقُودًا وَلَيْسَتْ أُرُودْ التِّجَارَةِ. Because this is actually money. It's not goods or merchandise that people have that is intended to be sold. Because goods and merchandise that's intended to be sold has a different ruling. Okay, it has a different ruling. There are special rules for that. But this is not so. It's not some goods or merchandise that you intend to sell. Rather, this is money that you intend to buy with, that you intend to use to take care of your needs. He said, and this is because this paper currency, like the gold and silver, it determines the values of things. That people determine what's the value of something. By what? By how much it's worth in gold or silver. Today, it's how much it's worth in dollars. Or in pounds, if you're in England. Or in riyals, if you're in Saudi Arabia. Okay? This money determines the value of things. How much is this worth? It's worth 100 riyals. It's worth $10. It's worth £2. Okay? So he said, since this paper currency does the same thing, it determines the value of things, so likewise, it's to be treated like gold and silver. وَهِيَ وَسِيلَ التَّبَادُلْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And it is, the paper money today, it is the means of exchange between the people. It's the means of exchange between the people. فَكَانَتْ كَالدَّنَانِرْ وَدِرَاهِمْ. So it is just like gold coins and silver coins, meaning how it was in the past. وَلَيْسَتْ كَأُرُودَ التِّجَارَةِ كَمَا زَعَمَهُ بَعْدُهُمْ. And it is not the same as the goods and merchandise that are intended to be sold by a merchant, as some of the people claimed. Here the Shaykh is alluding to what? That some people claim that paper currency comes under the rule of merchandise that people, merchants have to sell. And those are different rules. And the Shaykh is saying, it is not like that, as some of them are claiming. And there's a long discussion about that also, but I mean, the time is getting very short on us here. I want to mention one more point, at least, that's very important. Shaykh Uthaymeen mentions, he said, it should be known. This is on the same page, 213, in Fiqh al-Ibadah. He said, it should be known that zakat on the gold and the silver is obligatory, even if the person is saving it, putting it in savings, for later to take care of their expenses or their needs. Gold and silver, and coming under the same ruling as money. A person is putting this money in the bank, or putting it in their safe in their house, or putting it for something to pay my rent next year. Or to, like he said, goes on to say, yani take care of whatever their needs are. Or he said, yani to get married or to buy a car, I'm saving this up. So this money, I'm not going to give zakat on this. Not so. Not so. Not so. He said, even if a person is saving it for their expenses, for the future expenses, or for their needs, their hajat. وَإِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ الْإِنسَانِ 10,000 dirham, أَعَدَّهَا لِشَرَاءَ بَيْتْ يَسْكُنُهُ. Even if a person had 10,000 dirhams that they have set aside to buy a house that they can live in the future, they have to give zakat on it. The zakat is wajibatun fiha. They still have to give zakat, no matter what you put it away for later on. The point is, you have $10,000. You have 10,000 riyals. And there are poor people who don't have anything. You have to give some zakat from that. 2.5%. Okay? He said, even if that money remained in your savings, waiting to buy the car, or waiting to buy the house, or waiting to buy whatever you plan on doing, waiting to find somebody to marry, even if you kept it for years, you have to give zakat on it. Even if you, he said here, even if you had put it aside to get married with. For those of you who are not yet married.
If you don't know the amount.
Well, you better count it then. You got to count it. Then he better keep a record of whatever he puts in there when he puts it in there. Because if he doesn't give zakat on it, and he says, but I don't know how much is in there, then he's going to be accountable in Yawm al-Qiyamah with that severe punishment that we just heard about, right? So what he has to do, he has to keep a record every time he's putting something in there, have a book right next to where he puts it in, and just write it in when he puts it in there. Otherwise, he has to overestimate. I think it's about $10,000 now. Well, you better give zakat on $15,000, because maybe you're wrong. You have to overestimate, right? Because you're going to play it safe. You're not going to take a chance to be punished. For what? Why are you being punished? Because you're depriving the people who are needy of their right. That's not a favor you're doing for them. That's their right that Allah has given to them. And you're depriving them of it by the means of, well, I don't know how much is in there. Well, if you don't know how much is in there, you better overestimate. Huh? Yani, it's whatever is the value of Yani, 85 grams of pure gold today. Go in the market and find out what's the value of 85 grams of pure gold today. Whatever is that amount, that's what it is. Or you can go buy silver. 595 grams of silver. What's the value of 595 grams of pure silver on the market today? If you have that much, what the value of that in dollars, then you have to give zakat. If you had it for 1 year. The stock market? What do you mean the stock market? I'm saying, what's the value? If somebody wants to buy gold today, how much is the cost of gold today?
Yeah, you have to know the value in cash.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about the stock market. We're just talking about if somebody wants to... They sell gold. People sell gold today. If you want to buy gold, you say, how much is the cost now? 1 gram is so much. 85 grams is how much? That's how it goes. It doesn't matter if it's on the stock market or whatever. What's the going price of a gram of gold today? That's what we need to know. Doesn't matter who's controlled by. If that's how much it costs today, what is the value of gold today? Whoever established the value, if this is the value, if I want to sell gold, this is how much they're going to give me for it. Well, I'm not concerned about who set the price. If they're saying that the value of my gram of gold today is $1,000, even though I only paid $100 for it, now they're saying it's $1,000 set by the stock market. Am I going to say, well, just give me $100? No, the value is $1,000, I want $1,000. That's what it's cost today. That's what anybody selling it today is selling it for. That's what you're entitled to get it for, if you sell it to somebody, or if you buy it from somebody. That's what its value is. Okay, so that's what we're going to go by, whatever is the value in the market today.
41.50.
1 gram. Okay. So 1 gram is cheap today. Okay, but let's try to finish because we're almost out of time right now. We have only a few minutes remaining. Let me just read this paragraph and then you ask your question. Okay, the Sheikh said no, that if a person, that zakat is obligatory in gold and silver, even if a person is storing it up for their need or necessity or some future to buy a house or to buy a car, to get married or anything, whatever it may be, no matter how many years they had it for, they still have to give zakat on it. What is important is that the zakat is obligatory on gold and silver. وَتَجِبُ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ حَالٍ. And it is obligatory in every situation or circumstance. And as some people think today, that if that money has been put into savings to spend for their maintenance or their needs or marriage or whatever, then there's no zakat on that. The Sheikh said, this is a thought that is faulty, that has no basis whatsoever. Not in the Qur'an, nor in the Sunnah, nor from the sayings of the people of knowledge. And it is different. Yani money that you have, that you stored up, that reached the nisab, that you have for 1 year, is different than al-urud. Yani urud al-tijara. For indeed, merchandise that's intended for sale, it has a condition before you have to give zakat on it. And that is that your intention is that you're going to sell it. If a person has merchandise that they don't intend to sell, they don't have to give zakat on it, no matter how much merchandise they have. If in their heart they don't intend to sell it, urud al-tijara, there's no zakat on it. Until they make intent to sell it, now its value, yani, is subject to zakat. As far as gold and silver, though, is different than merchandise that's intended to be sold. Gold and silver, the zakat is upon the money itself in every situation or circumstance, no matter what you're saving it for. And this is one of the Sheikh says, one of the types of yani wealth that is subject to zakat. Okay, there's a few more points, but yani we're pretty much out of time now. So let me take your question. Now we have 5 minutes. A few questions. Let's take the questions first. Imam, let's give the imam first opportunity. Market fluctuates. Yes. Yeah.
So how would you compute that? What would be the safest way to compute it?
The safest way to compute it is you compute it in consideration of the people who are entitled to receive the zakat. Yani in their interests, in their favor. And the way to do that is that when a person reaches the nisab and they had it for 1 year, whatever is the value at that day, when it reached 1 year, that's the value that they have to give. I understand.
Okay. But at the end of the year, the value is different.
So whatever at the end of the year is the value, that's when the zakat became obligatory, that's what they have to give. Yani the zakat wasn't obligatory in the beginning of the year, even no matter what its value was. But in the end of the year, when they had it for one complete year, the obligation of zakat came upon them at that moment. On that day, whatever is its value on that day, that's what they have to give. That's what they have to give. That's the safe way, as opposed to yani trying to see if we could average this out or do something else. In whose interest? Yani, this is fair. That before it was obligatory, we're not obligated to do anything. The day it became obligatory is like Yawmul Hisad. Yani when the crops are harvest, that day, whatever you have, that's what you have to give zakat on. Whatever was before that or whatever came after that, we have nothing to do with that. The day of the harvest. The day when the year passed over that wealth and it maintained the nisab, that day, whatever is its value, it's obligatory on that day to give the zakat. Not next week or next month. It became obligatory on that day. Whatever its value is that day.
Yeah, now, it's also fair because at that time that the poor are supposed to spend it. So it's also fair that they spend
that time. Well, yeah, because, okay, so and if a person has wealth, right, and every year they have to give zakat, every year if they still have the minimum nisab, right? So, some scholars, like Sheikh Uthaymeen said, that we have to consider the poor people, like the person who's given zakat is going to give it once a year. So the zakat should be given to those people for the whole year, because he's not going to give zakat again. So it doesn't matter. Yani, at that point, that's what we should be considering. Whatever is the value of at that point, then we give them the full amount of whatever we have to give. However we want to give it, yani, Allahu A'lam, it appears as though you can give it to them in the currency that's being used in that place. Even if your money is not in paper currency. Maybe your money actually is in gold, or it's actually in silver, But you should give the people in the currency that they can use. Naam, do Kareem. We didn't talk about merchandise yet. We're going to talk about that, inshallah. That's another topic that we're going to come to. We're going to deal with it in detail. We didn't talk about that yet either. The people that's qualified to give zakat are mentioned in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 60th ayat. There are 8 categories of people who are entitled to give zakat. Those are the people. Sheikh Uthaymeen also has discussion, and I think in Al-Wajiz also there's discussion concerning each of those 8 categories, what they're actually applicable to, because there's difference of opinion about some of those categories. Okay, so we're going to look at the categories of who is entitled to receive the zakat, inshallah, and the details concerning who fits into those categories exactly. Okay, now.
So, Sheikh, let's say, for example, this person wants to get married in Syrian, didn't have this amount, and then he gives zakat on it. And this saving is not increasing, it's just decreasing every time.
Yeah, but how much is it decreasing? Like, for example, right? For example, let's make it easy so it's clear. Let's say the minimum nisab, is $4,000, right? Okay, how much he needs to get married, for example? Say he needs 12,000, right? He needs 12,000. So he got to 4,000, and now he has to give zakat on it, right? How much he has to give from 4,000? $100. Now, he gave $100, he doesn't have nisab anymore. He doesn't have to give zakat anymore. It's not going to keep decreasing. He doesn't have to give anymore. But if he collects some more money, and he gets over 4,000 again, he gets to 5,000, for example, or 6,000 or 7,000, then he has to give another $100 or $200 or whatever, and his money is not decreasing.
If the person has more than $4,000.
Let's say he has $12,000.
Yes, he has $12,000.
So he has to give $300. And now he gave $300, so he only has $11,700. He can't get married with that. How is it not going up? How did he get to $12,000?
For example, a person can be like saving this amount, and then something could come in the way, and he could be like spending all over, and then he cannot save as he was saving before anymore.
No problem. So guess what? If he has over 4,000, he should give the poor people at least $100.
So even if it's decreasing, he still have to give it until.
Did you ever hear the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasat"? Listen. The meaning of that is that if a person has wealth and they gave some to the people who are really poor and needy, and he's not poor and needy because even though he wants to get married, but he has enough money, he was able to save up $4,000, $12,000. He's not poor, okay? But there are some people who don't have no food to eat. He shouldn't give them any $100? He's worried about getting married. You know what? He needs to look for somebody else to marry who doesn't need $12,000 to get married. I mean, what kind of marriage is he talking about getting? What is he doing with $12,000? Akhi, how much you need to get married in Yemen? Hold on a minute.
In Yemen?
Yeah, in Yemen. Slow down. We're going to stop with this. Okay, listen. Yeah, just tell us. Go ahead. Don't be afraid.
It depends because how many people they go high with a mess.
Okay, like how much?
Yemen?
Yeah.
It depends on how religious the people are. The religious people?
Yeah.
Which is not that many? To the means of the person.
Okay, so that's no problem whatsoever. Means of the person.
But on average, we'll say minimum maybe nowadays $10,000 to $15,000.
$10,000 to $15,000?
No. And Yemen, the thing is, Yemen, a lot of people, they go with the mess.
Okay, so you know how much the mahar in Saudiya? Maybe 100, 200,000. 100, 200, 10,000? You can't get married in Saudi Arabia with 10,000. You can't even get married with 10,000. Okay, but listen to this. In the end of it all, look, brother. You said the religious people is according to your means, right? Why don't you marry somebody from a religious family? And then you eliminate the problem. You don't have any more problem, akhi. Why you want to marry somebody who's telling you, you have to give me $100,000? I don't even want to marry into that family, akhi. I don't even want to marry into that. I don't even want to marry into that, akhi. That doesn't make any sense, akhi. First of all, that's contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's contrary to the Sunnah. These people are asking for more than the people who married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're asking for more than that. Yani Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu married his daughter to a man who didn't have any money. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu married his daughter who was a religious girl, who was hafiz of Quran, who had knowledge of the deen, to a man who didn't have any money at all. He didn't have any money at all. Who do you want to marry? The person who has deen or the person who wants money? That's right. The money is going to go. Even if it's 50,000, 100,000, guess what? Allah may take it away tomorrow. Wipe it all out. Then what?
Right.
You know, we're going to stop here, brothers, because we're on time of the next class. And we're really over time. And so we have to have a little bit of discipline, brothers, to stop on time. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So we have some topics remaining from this. The categories of the people entitled to receive it, and some other topics that inshallah we'll try to cover next week.